that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live from a beautiful sunny radio ranch. July 9th, 2016. And so we welcome you here with us. Good morning, guys. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And, oh, what a beautiful day. Well, we're going to have the phone lines open this morning. There's probably some current events that might get on the ticket this morning to get talked about. And we'll see how that goes. But, Jason, if you'd open us up in prayer first.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we just ask for your blessing upon this Saturday morning broadcast, Father. We pray that you guide us and direct us in the paths that we go, Father. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over at us and ask to be forgiven of any sin known and unknown, and ask that you guide us and direct us in all that we do. Bless our hands and the labors that we do. And Father, we just ask that you just be with remnant across this land, those that are yours, Father. We pray that you deliver them from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the power of the dog, and the forces that come against us, Father. They're coming against us on many different fronts nowadays, Father. And we just pray, Father, that you give us wisdom in fighting the battle that's before us, Father. That you strengthen our hands for battle, Father. That you train our hands to war, as King David prayed, Father. We pray that you make our feet as hinds feet, Father. Help us to have that peripheral vision that we need to have, Father. And Father, we just pray for the remnant across the land, Father, that are in need of salvation, Father. And we just pray, Father, for you to quicken them in their spirit, Father, and help your people to know who they are and where they came from, and Father, and what they are to do. And we pray, Father, that you just continue to wake up and stimulate your people, Father. And we thank you for that. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to add something to that too.
Sure.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, for you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent, for he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him, and let him behold my salvation. Heavenly Father, hear this prayer of your people, Lord. Strengthen our faith, Lord. Forgive us where we are weak in our faith. Lord, help us to realize that greater is he that is for us than all those things that can come against us, and that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Lord, we thank you for the teaching that our pastor gave us last week. Lord, raise up men with the spirit of our forefathers once again, Lord. Men who fear nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ. Men who will not bow their knee to Baal, no matter the consequence. And men who boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus once again. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That Psalms 91 is a most important scripture. It is a promise. It is a prayer. It is a to be an encouragement to his people. That's why it's there.
Yeah, I got this neat bookmark that I keep in my Bible that reminds me
of
the power that we have, that how the Lord sits in the heaven and he laughs. They make their plans, and the Lord sits in the heavens and he laughs.
Yes.
And that bookmark's available from this ministry, along with many other reminders regarding baptism and several other key, important full armor of God.
Amen. Amen. And you know, we're almost in Psalms and our Bible reading plan. We're getting through Job. And Psalms will start in next week. And so if you'd like to have that Bible reading plan, it's available on our website. Each month is posted there. And that's scriptures4america.org. And we'd be glad to mail you one, too. If you don't have, maybe you don't have internet, you're listening on the shortwave. And, we'd be glad to mail you one. We could sure do that. And it is so very important for Christian people to read their Bible, to know their Bible. And that is one of the problems, one of the reasons that we are in the mess we're in today, is that our people, our fathers, our forefathers, and many times ourselves at certain points in our life, have just relied on other people to tell us what the Bible says. You know, we're starting newsletter 5. It's going to the presses probably bright and early Monday morning. And in going through that, John, I remembered your article in there talked about how we've relied on the world to tell us how a Christian should be. And we're not to do that. We rely on the Bible. The Word tells us how we're to be as a Christian, not the world, not CNN, not ESPN, not Billy Graham. But the Word tells us. And it should tell each and every, and it does tell each and every one of us. But we have to read that word. We have to read it. We have to apply it. We have to pray about it.
Yeah, along those lines, the whole reason that the Reformation happened was because there were men whose eyes were open to the fact that the Bible was for all men.
Yes.
It wasn't to be read in Latin and interpreted by the Pope and bishops and tell the people what they wanted them to think and believe. And as soon as they started reading that Bible, they understood that, wait a minute, there's nothing in here about a vicar of Christ. There's nothing in here about a man being able to forgive sin. There's nothing in here about indulgences. And they knew that it was a false religion. But what you can see happening right now, if you look into the things that aren't being told in the media, is that great mother whore, Babylon Church, Synagogue of Satan, Roman Catholic Church, is once again drawing the sister churches back together. And not only the sister churches, but all religions, Hinduism, Muslims, all that. And it's all designed, it's Satan's kingdom against God's kingdom. It's good versus evil. There's nothing new under the sun. God warned us that this would happen. Satan knows that his time is short, and that's what all of this is it's a false revival is what it is. It's a revival of the pagan churches and those that have been infiltrated, most likely by Jesuits. So I think we need to make sure we don't lose track of that. I think this Muslim thing is just a diversion, and what they're doing with this race baiting is just divide and conquer. You know, if you look at Obama Nation, one of his mentors was Saul Alinsky, and Saul Alinsky's book Rules for Radicals was divide and conquer, cause confusion, and then take over while the people are busy on other things. You know, there's no doubt the outrage of what happened with the FBI and Hillary Clinton's deal, that they had to have something. It's another wag the dog deal.
Yeah.
But now they're so bold and brazen that they'll just go and kill cops. You know, people. I remember, I was thinking about this today or yesterday, driving in my truck. When I was a kid, cops didn't have bulletproof vests. They didn't have all this riot gear. They didn't have any of that stuff.
John, they didn't need them.
They didn't
need them.
Exactly. They didn't need it because the people were God-fearing people. The people respected the officers. And I'm not saying that there's not some bad officers. There absolutely is. But I got news for you. They've been put there for a reason. They've recruited these people for this reason and given them badges and given them uniforms for this exact reason. You mean to tell me that they were able to videotape all of this on a phone, you know, on these two killings? There's no doubt about it that there's this stuff that's being staged. And if you heard the speech that Louis Farrakhan gave right before yesterday, what happened in Dallas, you would be, it's outraged that this Black Lives Matter thing is not being called what it is. You know, it's a true hate group. I mean, when Louis Farrakhan says you need to go out and kill Whitey, and Jesse Jackson, same thing. They just had that moron on TV the other day, and it's just amazing.
Part of the war.
Yeah.
You know, and we are. I think we all agree. You know, out west, we are somewhat sheltered from that, and thankfully so. You know, but I know we've all been back east. We've all been down south. We've all been out west further, where it's worse than it is here. And you know, we've. Jason, I've heard your stories of driving through St. Louis, and you know, it is an actual war. I was talking with a man yesterday, and he made a comment about it, and he said, you know, this other guy said he really thought race relations were improving in this nation. And I said, well, if he thinks that, you know, he's not aware of the unseen third party that keeps the pot stirred. that prevents the races from getting along. Because in Christianity, the races can get along. But outside of Christianity, they don't. They never have. Now, inside Christianity, it doesn't mean that they commingle. It doesn't mean that they interbreed. It doesn't mean that they do those type things. But the races have gotten along, the different races have gotten along, and they do get along in true Christianity. But it's when Jesus Christ is Lord, and He is the God of the nation, and not every other little small g God, or not no gods at all. Anyway, yeah, you can tell I'm glad you mentioned that, John. It is a wag the dog scenario, because the FBI and Hillary, those were that's what's been in the news the last couple of weeks, and it was getting hotter and hotter, and there had to be a diversion. There had to be a diversion.
Well, if you listen to that testimony by James Comey or whatever, the director of the FBI, he basically laid out the fact that she was totally guilty, but we're not going after her.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that affected a lot of people. I don't know. I've talked to several that there is no rule of law anymore, you know. The government is corrupt, we know that. The Supreme Court is corrupt, we know that. The judges are corrupt. The whole judicial system is corrupt, which is why the Bible told us to stay out of court, right? They want your coat, give them your shirt, because the courts are corrupt.
Yes.
But there's only one way out of this, and that's repentance and true revival. The true followers of Jesus Christ crying out to God, which is what we did in Branson. And I still say that the separation of Britain, the UK, from the EU is just a bigger... I think it was a sign that God heard His people as they fasted and prayed and cried out, and because those are our people.
Yes.
And those countries are being destroyed, and that's the same plan that they have for this country. You know, they say, "Oh well, we're thinking about bringing 10,000 or 20,000 immigrants into the country." They lie. There's over more than 1 million have been brought into this country already. You know, and I know, just when you go to Walmart or something, you can see that the demographics have changed.
Yes.
In this country.
Yes. You know, I remember it was it's been several years ago now, but being down in, we stopped by a Walmart, where was it at? I think in Greeley. I think we were down there one time, and several years ago. I can remember having to stop there. We at times had gotten supplies there, some culverts and things like that for the ranch, and I can remember, it's been probably 12 or 13 years ago, going in there, and it was just a Walmart. It looked like every other Walmart, and I can remember just a few short years ago, going in there, and even then the demographics had totally changed, and Greeley is an agricultural community for the most part, south of us, and everything was in Spanish. The music over the little intercom stuff was Spanish. You know, it was like stepping into how I would imagine Mexico. Yeah, you know, and I've only been there once. I had lunch with Jason there, and that was enough for me. Filthy place. And so, you know, and you're right, John, we've all seen that change in demographics. Now that change was from being an American store to being a Mexican store, because that's who the people that live around there are. That's the majority of people coming and spending money and frequenting that store. And so that's who they are, that's who their clientele is, because that's the majority of the people in the community. Now, it seems like the last time I was in that Walmart there on LeMay, what is it, LeMay or whatever, it seemed like it was getting that way as well. Maybe that's just me. I don't know.
Yep.
But you're right. The demographics.
But what's happened is the government's, you know, you say it hasn't affected the West. I don't agree with that anymore. There was a time, even 5-10 years ago, that, yeah, I would agree with that, that problems in the East were not affecting the West. But they make sure that they bring in those immigrants, and they bring in those low-income housing, and they bring in those gangs from Denver and put them into these small, peaceful towns.
They do. They do. They'll
come
and
you look at what's happened up in, I mean, everywhere. Idaho's been affected by it. Wyoming's been affected by it. Nebraska, Colorado. I mean, they're just, they brought them into every state, I think, has got them now. And it's like John was saying earlier, you know, they'll tell you that they're going to bring 10,000 of them in. And, you know, the reality is, you know, with their 10,000, in reality, is 80,000 here and 100,000 here. And, you know, and then food cards and you know, talk about, you know, just the financial burden that they put on the country. You know, if we got rid of all the illegal alien dependents, all the refugees and their dependents, and what they are getting sucking off of this welfare system, SNAP system. I mean, yeah, that thing, you can't even call it welfare anymore because they got so many cotton-picking names for it. I mean, they got 5 different programs that they're on. They're on every one of them, and they can go to an ATM machine and withdraw their monthly money right out of an ATM machine, and everybody in their family can have one. I mean, it's you know, if you look at it from a monetary standpoint, it's draining and just sucking this nation down. A lot of these people are making more off of, once they come here as a refugee, they're making more off the system than a person that's working, you know, 40, 50 hours a week.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep, I didn't.
And
bring
they're
it
getting their early, they're getting their housing paid for, and they're getting their food paid for, and they're getting this paid for and that paid for. And if they want to go start a business or you know, buy a house or buy a business, they can get an interest free loan to do it.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't bring it with me this morning, but folks, tune in with us tomorrow morning, Jason. I've got some of that to cover on the scriptural review of the news. Tomorrow morning from the church, that very thing, got a nice graphic for you. Didn't bring it back in the broadcast booth this morning with me, but we do. It's astounding, the amount of money. And that ties in with, John, that Brexit that you mentioned, the Britain leaving, exiting the EU, because that was one of, you don't hear it on the news, but that was one of the several major reasons why 52% of the people in England voted to leave. Highest voter turnout since 1992. One of the reasons was the huge amount, that the way their taxes have gone up because of all the money they have to pay for these illegal refugees and paying to the EU for all these refugees. That's a huge part. And the people don't realize. They see a number and, oh, well, you know, whatever. But it is. It's huge. It's thousands of dollars per family here in this country that are stolen from us for these illegals.
One of the most disgusting things is these Somalian Muslims, you know, what they say, the last 1,000 that came into this country, 3 of them were Christian, the rest were Muslim. But aside from that, is you look at the treatment of our veterans, and I mean, I don't care if you agree with the war or you don't. A lot of these have been deceived. They don't realize that they're being sacrificed. They don't realize that they're fighting a war that they can't win. But regardless, you got veterans who, you know, you got a higher suicide rate right now of veterans killing themselves than have been killed in action, in war. And why wouldn't they? You got a country that doesn't give a rat's rear end about them, And those poor people, you know, I don't care what you say, a lot of them are fighting demonic influences, you know, things, it's a spiritual warfare, and they're losing that spiritual warfare. If they're not strong in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then they're going to lose that war. They need to, you know, people need to understand that this is good versus evil, period. There's Satan, Lucifer, who was cast down with myriads and myriads of angels, fallen angels, and those angels are demons, and they are doing everything that they can to keep God's people out of the kingdom, to win them to Satan, because Satan's whole desire from the beginning was to be worshipped as a god. If you read the scriptures, you see over and over that that was Satan's desire. And obviously, he had some sort of power because he convinced, you know, some say a third. Revelation talks about a third. But regardless, it was myriads and myriads of angels to come with him and to defect. And all the while, God's sitting there and the Holy Spirit's sitting there. And he knows everything, right? So he knows that they're planning this coup, that they're planning this takeover. And then there was the war in heaven and he was cast down. And, you know, we just don't, I don't think we fully fathom the fact that all of those fallen angels are demons. And they have infiltrated every aspect of our churches, of our government, of our schools. And it's only the people, the true Christian followers of Jesus Christ who have the truth, who stand on the truth, that can defeat them. And they know that. And that's why they do everything they can to destroy those who are bold enough to speak the truth. That's why Pastor Peters was the number one enemy in the you know, in the country at the time.
For speaking the truth.
The truth, yep.
For speaking the truth. Yep. Yeah, we are in the days where the people don't want to hear the truth. They don't have a love for the truth. They don't hunger and thirst for righteousness like they used to. And we have to get back to that. You said it earlier, John. There has to be repentance. There has to be a hungering for that truth. You know, Pastor talked about the people that were attracted to this ministry. He called us truth junkies, because that's what we wanted. We just wanted truth. You know, give me truth. This is and I know that, you know, that's one of the things, I've shared it before, but that's one of the things that attracted me, that brought me to this ministry, was it was truth. You know, the Anglo-Israel message, the truth about Christianity, the truth of the scriptures, it answered the questions I had. You know, and it does, because it is truth. And you don't have to protect truth, you just set it free. I heard it compared to a lion one time. You know, truth is like a lion. You don't have to protect it, you just turn it loose. It'll take care of itself. And that's what we continue to try to do here at this ministry, is to put the truth out. You know, we...
Yeah, I think there's... You know, I disagree with the fact that I think there are those that are hungering and thirsting for the truth. There's those that are searching. And I think we have a greater opportunity than ever before to reach those people who know that something's wrong. They know that they've been lied to. They know that the churches are nothing more than churches of Laodicea tickling their ears. And that's our goal, and that's got to be our desire, is to
absolutely
reach those people. And, you know, we've been praying that. Lord,
yes,
remove the scales from their eyes. Unstop their ears. Bring those that can, Lord, to repentance, but those that can't, to destruction. And that's where we have to be. But we always have to pray that if there's a chance for them to come out of her, come out of Babylon, come out of the Catholic Church, or whatever it is, Antichrist establishments, that they, you know, if there is a chance, Lord, bring them to repentance. But if they're not, if they're of their father, the devil, you know, if they come only to steal, kill, and destroy, then we want them off the land or under it.
Yes.
And I think that's a key that we need to start focusing on, is focusing our prayers on those that we believe can be brought to repentance, and those that we know that can't, that they would be destroyed. So that's kind of the way I think we're going to be moving as we go forward. There's so much treason in the land. You know, it used to be, I remember when I was a kid too, we talked about this. Treason was a scary thing. I mean, if you committed treason, that was death penalty, period. And I think it was in 2009, I looked it up in the dictionary or something, that basically they've changed the penalty for treason to, I think the minimum fine is $5,000 or something. So, but they had to cover themselves before they committed mass treason.
Yes, yes, and then they and then it gets argued back and forth in back to those courts. It gets argued and plea bargained and everything else. It's insanity. It's chaos. The further and further that the people are removed from their God, removed from Jesus Christ, from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the absolute worse it gets. You know, I'm reminded here, Isaiah 52, awake, awake. You know, the people are asleep. They've been put in this sleepy type spell, or spelly type sleep, you know, however it works. And you're right, John, there are those that are starting to awake, that are seeing, that are starting to hopefully hunger for that thirst and thirst for righteousness and for justice, and that they're seeing that there is something wrong. And you know, it's always been those people, you know, that when they start seeking, it's our job to have the truth out there so that they can find the truth. And you know, Remnant, that's one of the reasons that we continue to put our pastor's old messages out, because they resonate with truth, and they go out on the shortwave, and they go out on the internet, and they go out on the audio satellite, and they go out in the newsletters to the prisons and to the foreign countries and to every state in this nation. It's truth. It's not politically correct. It's not pleasing to the ear sometimes, but it's truth. And you know, it still resonates with the people. There's new people coming on the ministry every week. There's not a week that doesn't go by that we don't get either emails or phone calls or letters in the mail that, you know, hey, I heard you, and I want to know more. You know, what did you mean by this? What was this broadcast about? I caught part of it. Because that truth still resonates, and there are still those people out there that are wakening up. And that has been our prayer, and like you said, John, I think it does need to continue to be our prayer, that Lord, let you know, send a rumbling, send a shaking, that those that can wake up will awake, will wake up, that hey, there's a war going on here, and that, you know, there is a way out, there is the good news of the gospel. And we read on in Isaiah 52, awake, awake, clothe yourself in your strength, O Zion. Well, guess what? The people here in this nation need to realize they are of Zion, and that they can clothe themselves in that strength. Clothe yourselves in your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. Well, it ain't talking about that sandbox over there where they deny that Jesus is the Christ. No, it talks about O Jerusalem, the holy city. Shake yourself from the dust. Rise up, O captive, Jerusalem. Loose yourselves from the chains around your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. And you go back to Galatians 3:27, and how do you clothe yourself in your strength? Those that were baptized into Christ are clothed with Christ.
Yep, Acts 2:38.
Absolutely.
That's the key.
It is.
You know, I was reading the other day about the wedding supper and the man who was there who wasn't clothed properly. And what it tells you is, because he was there, he was probably a so-called Christian, but because he wasn't clothed properly, he was cast out into the place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Yep.
I mean, if that doesn't tell you that you have to be clothed with Christ, and the only way to be clothed with Christ is to go into that watery grave of baptism.
Yep. Absolutely.
The Bible's clear that you are clothed with Christ. You're white as snow. All your sins are forgiven. You die to your old life. You're born again of the water and the Spirit. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and your name's entered into the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's the only way.
It is.
To get clothed with Christ and to put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life.
It is. And if our people would be reading their Bible, if they're following the Bible reading plan, they're reading Acts 16. Today, and then the second half of Acts 16 tomorrow, and there's a second witness to that Acts 2:38 there. It's Paul and Silas in prison, and you know, they're singing praises. And the earthquake comes, and the doors are opened, and you know, the jailer is converted. I mean, it was enough for him. He was like Saul converting to Paul. He saw the light, so to speak. And he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And that's what it says right there. And I believe that. I believe that scripture. I believe in the Lord Jesus. But it says a little bit more. We can't stop there. You read on down. And at verse 33, well, we'll read on 32. "And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, he and all his household." So see, there's another second witness. Because there's witnesses all through. That yes, you have to believe. But understand over here on the left that even the demons believe that Jesus is the Christ. So you can't stop at belief. You believe, and then if you believe this word, and Jason, you say it time and time again, then apply it. Obey it, right? Do what the word says. Be a doer of the word, and not a hearer only. And that's what this jailer did. Him and his whole household, and they were baptized, and their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yeah.
You know, John...
That those demons can't be baptized.
Absolutely. And you know, John, you mentioned that.
They can.
About that man at the wedding feast that was a so-called Christian that had made it in. He thought he was, he says, "I'm there. I've made it." But when they came to him, he wasn't clothed with Christ. He had not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Like this jailer, like this man that worked for the ungodly. And when they came to him, Jesus said, "How did you get in here, brother?" And you remember the word says he was speechless. He was speechless. He had no excuse. And you know, I do not want to be found speechless before my God. And I'm not going to be. Because I've done the best I can to obey the word. I've repented. I've been baptized. I've been washed in the blood. I've had my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you know, remnant out there, you the word is clear. If you'll read it, if you'll knock, if you will seek, if you'll hunger for thirst and righteousness and look in his word and ask him to show you his word, he will. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, our guide, our helper. It stands there. It holds the magnifying glass for us to let us read and see what's in the word. But if you don't do those things, you may find yourself speechless one day on the most important day. And you don't want to be found not clothed with Christ. It is as simple as that. You can have a great conversion experience. This jailer, you know, when the earthquake came and the doors were open, he was ready to kill himself. He thought that was the end because he knew his life was forfeit. And he was ready to kill himself. But they said, no, you know, we're still here. And he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they told him, "Believe is number one." And then they preached the word to him. And he was like the Ethiopian eunuch with Philip. "Sirs, there's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then nothing prevents you. And he was. And that is still the gospel message. If our people would just read the word. And this lie of accepting Jesus as your personal Savior, that is a lie burped up out of the pits of hell by the deceivers who are not saved and who do their best to keep other people out of the kingdom. They don't enter in, and they've come up with this, accept Jesus as your personal Savior, raise your hand, say the sinner's prayer, "Lord, I'm a sinner." Oh, there you go. That's all you got to do. That's worse than our vets killing themselves. 100,000 times over. Because it gives these people a false sense of salvation, a false sense of sanctification, and they're not saved. Their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They believe. They've done step one. But there's more to it than that. All through the Bible, there's more to it than that.
You know, I think in today's day and age, you're either going to be filled with the Word or you're going to be filled with the world. And if you fill yourself with the Word, there's no room for the world.
good point. Well, we have the phone lines open this morning, folks. 307-745-5913. If you want to give a call in, we've still got about 20 minutes left this morning, this ninth day, second Saturday in July. And we welcome you here again. Newsletter 5 is ready to go. We've got it proofed. We've got it ready. And it'll go to the presses down there at the print shop on Monday morning. And if you don't get that newsletter, we encourage you to. We don't charge for it. It's like the pastor said, there's no free lunch, but there's enough that cover it where we don't have to put a $10 or $20 or $50 a year subscription price on it. We send it out free of charge. We'd be glad to send it to you. If you'd like that Dragon Slayer newsletter, you can contact us at Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. You can send us an email, preacher@sfaw.org, and we can email it to you. We'd be glad to do that. And next week also we'll have a fully interactive, color printable, viewable PDF on the website as well. And that'll be at scripturesforamerica.org. And you can go there and see the older newsletters that are there and go back and read them. And so we encourage you. It is truth that is being put out. And it's up to you. It's there. It's up to you whether you go to it and read it and see it and apply it.
You know, this shooting thing has been, is definitely interesting, and I feel like that there's a lot of stuff that's going on there that they're trying to distract us from, too. And I feel like that they're playing testing the grounds. You know, this, everything from, they say they're saying supposedly that these officers have been attacked in Missouri, Georgia, Tennessee, and that it's retaliation for this African American that was shot up in Minnesota. One of the things that's interesting is down there in Texas how they just loaded that drone or that robot up and sent it in and blew it up. Blew the guy up, which basically, that does save, you look at it a couple different ways. One thing is that I was thinking about was, first of all, it saves a lot of money. The guy's dead. He was obviously one of the ones that was shooting. But all these other shootings, they kind of had a screw up there at that the one up in Orlando, where the guy was shooting up all the queers. You start looking into that. There's rats all over the place, and you start looking at the information on that. And you can tell it was a setup deal. So one of my thoughts is that what they were trying to cover up here at this one? Just send it in, blow it up, blow up the evidence, and have it gone. What's the motive there? And, are they trying to make that, just put that before people's eyes and so people can get accustomed to it that, hey, we got the right, we can go in and, if we think it's necessary, blow somebody up. Because they can say whatever they want, and they can do whatever they want. We know that they've done that from everything from Sandy Hook to this, to all these false flag events that we've had over the last, and they've gotten more frequently. We've had how many of them over the last 5 years? And they've grown exponentially, and they're getting more frequent all the time. And, so we have things like this happening, and now we've gotten cops that they can go in and blow something up. Now, I got mixed emotions about it because, one thing is, if somebody's attacking my family, I'm going to use any and all necessary weapons, any means possible to protect them and take whoever's attacking my family out. that's just, you know, that's what, that's the way, you know, that's the way we are to be. You know, that's one aspect of it. But the other aspect is what is, you know, do I want my government to have that power where they can just blow anybody up that they see that they deem necessary? And no, I mean, because, you know, we're dealing with an untrustworthy government. You know, and it goes back to that same thing that, you know, talked about quite some time ago. It's, you know, are you for the death penalty or against the death penalty? Well, you know, we know that the death penalty, that's a biblical principle. That's a godly thing, if handled properly. But on the other hand, do I want my government to have be able to decide who they can put to death when we are living in an ungodly society? Absolutely not. So, I mean, those are just some things that I've been thinking about this, and it's just, but it's interesting because this one down in Texas was handled completely different. So you know, it's too early to tell what the outcome and what kind of steps are going to surface after it. But it's definitely interesting.
You know what I find interesting too is they call this guy a sniper. Well, to me, a sniper is someone that's in a position that's concealed, right? Typically at a distance, not with an SKS rifle going up, walking up behind cops and shooting them. And, you know, their initial reports said that there was at least two, maybe three, in a triangular that had them triangulated, and some in positions, you know, of altitude. And then all of a sudden, now we just got this one guy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and there's always, all these shootings that we've had lately, they're always looking, at first, there's always reports, oh, there was more than one shooter, there was more than one shooter, there was multiple shooters, there was this, there was
Sandy
that.
Hook, same thing, remember?
Yep. What?
Sandy Hook was the same thing, remember?
Oh, absolutely.
There was eyewitnesses of armed gunmen running into the woods, you know?
Yep. And they took off looking for him. I mean, on the first the first news broadcast, and they were following the chopper from the news crew was following, looking out in the woods. I mean, it's every one of them. There's been other shooters. You know, this one in Florida. There was the other guy that was picked up. He said there was a guy that went into the sheriff's department and turned himself in and wanted immunity and said, "Hey, this was a setup deal." He's like, "I was on the team." He's like, it was issued the same guns. I was supposed to go a week later and go and have another event, but they were supposed to extract my buddy, and this wasn't what was supposed to happen. And when he saw the news and saw the way that they portrayed what happened over there in Florida, then he decided, hey, I don't want to have anything to do with this. Well, they brought that in on the news for what, about 30 seconds, and shut it up. And you know, it's there's a lot more that meets that. There's a lot more than what they're telling you.
Yeah, over and over.
Yeah,
the reality is between the U.S. Patriot Act of 2001 and the Homeland Security Act of 2002, that already, if you look into it and read through it, those documents that have already been passed into law are they basically scrubbed the Constitution. They just haven't enacted them yet. And that's why they have to have these gun things, because you've got people who've been indoctrinated in the school system who really start to believe that these, if you get rid of the guns, you'll solve the problem.
Oh, absolutely.
And
yep. Well, you couple that with
all the
Black Lives Matter and all the racist rhetoric and the white privilege and the white shame that's being taught on top of the gun control, and you do, it's a complete brainwashing of the next generation.
Yeah, if you look at, I was reading into some past history regarding gun control and all the countries that have been disarmed, but Switzerland, for instance, is required to have guns. Every man is required to have a gun in his home, and there's virtually no crime in Switzerland, is what I read, but including assault rifles, so-called assault rifles. But during World War II, Hitler wanted to invade Switzerland, and the Swiss told him that he could send his army across the border, but none of his officers would return, and Hitler apparently had given the orders to invade Switzerland several times, but the officers refused to obey because they knew that there were 200 million guns. I mean, the reality is, if you look at just the people who are registered to hunt with their hunting rifles, 30-06 and 7 mag or whatever, that's more guns than all our armies combined, and they know that they have to disarm the American people before they can take over and turn it into a totalitarian or whatever, I can't even say the word, but regime.
Amen.
Yep. So, well, the reality is there's worse things than death, and the things that can be done to your wife and your family while they make you watch, because they love to inflict pain, and there's no greater pain probably than seeing your wife or your children being tortured or murdered. That's why we have to cling to our guns, just the way it is, our Bibles and our guns.
Yep. Yeah, those are two things that the Christian in America today should be well versed with. They should understand their Bible. They should understand who it's written to, what it says, what it doesn't say. And they should understand their firearms. And they should understand how they work, and be well versed in both of them. And I think those are pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Those are pleasing to our God. He's never wanted us to just roll over, you know. Never, ever. Well, there's a phone line. I think we've got time for a call this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, Richard. This is Marlon down in Tennessee.
Good morning, Marlon.
Hey, Marlon.
I just listening this morning and kind of enjoying the conversation, and I noticed that their storytelling abilities get further and further far-fetched, and they can tell it any way they want, and people are so stupid that they don't even pick up on it. Like, for instance, I think John said, you know, that the supposed sniper had an SKS. No sniper in the history of the world would choose an SKS. He's going to use something like a 308 or a 30-06,
yes,
or a 223, some sort of flat-shooting, real accurate round. So you take a gun that, you know, a proven gun, it's real good if you're in a mud fight or something, but you don't, you know, it's just not a sniper's rifle. This guy's,
yes,
not a sniper.
Right.
That's a poor man's assault weapon.
What's that?
That's an excellent point, Marlon, is the SKS was just a cheap Chinese weapon.
Yeah.
That's all it is, right? It's,
yep,
a poverty. I mean, someone who doesn't have any means is going to use that weapon to try to do what they're doing.
To spray
and
pray.
Absolutely, it's not a sniper's weapon. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's a stamped out piece of sheet metal, and it's a great thing to have if that's all you can put your hands on, but it's not the kind of thing that you would perch yourself. Well, take, you were talking about hunters.
Yeah.
You know, basically a hunter, a deer hunter in a tree stand is a sniper of sorts. But what does he use, an SKS?
Yep.
I don't think so.
No.
You know, you might use one if you were in real tight brush or something like that. But you're going to, it's absurd. They just continue to pervert the story to the point that it's completely unbelievable by anybody that knows what they're talking about, but most people don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And it may be just what you said, they're testing the waters. You know, how stupid are the American people? Let's keep trying to put these little things in there and just see if anybody catches it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, how stupid are they?
Or maybe they drank a little too much of the fluoride too, and they're thinking, "Let's just put a little more fluoride in the water." In the water, they won't care.
Yeah.
Put a little more subliminals in the backgrounds of the television, and you know, all's good.
Yep. Yeah, because the people will say, oh, yeah, that's just like what I saw in that movie. You hear that time and time again anymore. Yeah, I saw that in the movie one time. So, well, Marlon, thank you so much for the call, brother.
Video game.
Yeah, yeah. Marlon, thanks for the call. Have a blessed weekend, brother.
Y'all too.
God bless.
Thanks, Marlon. Yeah, you look at the video games too, though. You know, there's a whole lot of those games now, too, that are killing cops.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that, I mean, it's a lot of people with the video game thing is they can lose touch with reality.
Yeah.
And they start living in a virtual reality. I've read a lot of stories on different people that they get to the point where they can't discern the difference between reality and virtual reality. Yeah. Whether it's computer games, whether it's television, or whether it is video games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And those can be conduits to demons as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, guys, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, Remnant, for getting up early this Saturday morning and joining us for coffee. I hope you got your coffee drink. My cup's empty. And we got to read some scripture and talk about some current events, and hopefully it was an encouragement to you. Hopefully it's an encouragement for you to read your Bible and to apply what it says, to believe it and apply it. And we want to encourage you also to join us at church tomorrow. You can come as you are and join us at scriptures4america.org. Click on the live video stream starting at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 11 a.m. Central and noon on the East Coast. And join us. We'll have a review of the news and going to try to talk about this Britain exit and some of the things that caused it. And, could it happen here? Could it happen here? And we'll have some good music. We'll have a communion message for you. And we'll be able to partake of communion. And you'll be able to have fellowship with the saints. And we'll have a Holy Spirit-inspired message that is some truth that we need to hear. So we encourage you to join us there. Well, guys, thanks again. We're going to go out with Carl Klang, Psalms 83. I encourage you, listen to the words, because it's happened once again. There is a conspiracy against God's true people. We'll see you at church tomorrow.
Do not be silent, God, or unresponding. Do not remain at rest, O mighty one. For now your foes arise and make a clamor. Your bitter enemies lift up the head. Against your people now they plot in secret. They meet to work against your hidden ones. They say, let's go up now and end their nation. The name of Israel shall be no more. Together they conspire in deadly earnest. Against you they have made their covenant. The Ishmaelites are there, the tents of Edom. The men of Moab with Hagarines are there. See Jebel Amalek with men of Ammon. Behold Philistia and them of Tyre. For Asher too has come and joins their forces. They are the power of the sons of Lot. Treat them like Midian, like Jabin's army. Treat them like Sisera at Kishon's brook. At Endor they were all annihilated. And they became as dung upon the ground. Like Oreb make their chiefs their lords, like Zeba, who thought they would possess the land of God. My God, oh, make them be like whirling dust clouds. make them like bits of chaff before the wind. Like fire that burns the woods, like flames of light.